text in the reading.
Thank you, God.
By the lovely Miss India Jones. And I just want to lift up verse 43. So when the festival was over, the whole family on the way back home started off, left Jerusalem. But the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. His parents had no clue that he was left behind. They thought that he was with the group. So they traveled the whole day, 24 hours, and then started looking for him amongst their relatives and friends. They did not find him, so they went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And on the third day, they found him in the temple, sitting with the Jewish teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard were amazed by what Jesus offered in their midst. I want to share from the topic and the subject, are you in the house?
Come on, preacher.
Are you in the house? Bible, pray with me just now. Gracious and eternal God, we say thank you. God, we give you praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. God, we would be remiss to thank God. I would be remiss to thank God that I can stand here under my own power. God, breathe the breath of life into your servant. God, that the words that fall from my mouth might be words that fall on fertile ground. Take deep root in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, and sprout up to be the beautiful flower that you so desire. It is in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus we pray, and for his sake always. Amen.
Amen.
On this youth Sunday, I ask the question, are you in the house? It is quite sad and it is unfortunate, the plight that faces so many of our young people today, which leaves them unable to sometimes see the possibilities for their own viable future. One need not look far to see that our young people suffer from homelessness, suffer from hunger, child abuse, social maladjustment, and poor academic achievement. Among our African-American youth, we find that suicide rates are on the rise. Homicide rates are still prevalent. There is an overrepresentation of our black males and females in the field or the area of special education, and a lack of real men and women stepping into the roles of fatherhood and motherhood. Just imagine for a moment, if you will, what it does to the psychological development of the young person when they are not able to grow and to mature into what God has called them to be. If one does not mature and become the person that they were created to be as they grow older, it is more likely in life that they will lead or that they will lead and cause, that their life would cause ups and downs, twists and turns that are unnecessary for their journey. It dismantles and disengages the connection that is needed for true development in that young boy or girl. And the road is different for each and every one of us, but the poor decision making on behalf of this person often leads to a downward spiral, ending into a sea of abyss, leaving them hopeless and helpless in life. And granted, I don't believe anyone desires to go in this way and end up on the wrong road, but I would contend that there is an approach that we can follow that helps not only young people, but helps us as adults as well. The subject for the day, are you in the house, is an opportunity for us to look at the growth and opportunity and development of our young people. It would be my desire that all of our young people be quote unquote in the house. I believe that the adults here today would want all of our children to grow into the love that God has for them and that all that God desires, and that is to be in the house. Being in the house is a familiar term that is used by people to indicate, often it is an old term, but still yet relevant. It is used to indicate that what is being said or done is right in line or correct with what someone is feeling or thinking. When something is said that is right and tight and makes sense for them, then the person responds by saying, "Oh yeah, you in the house." In other words, "I hear what you're saying, brother, go ahead." Or, "Sister, I see where you're going with that. I understand. You in the house." When you are in the house, not only do you know where you're going, but those around you can see where you're going as well. Being in the house is where I want to be despite of what life throws at me. I, like Jesus, want to be in the house. Now, being in the house can be used as a literal or figurative metaphor. If we look at the text, Jesus stayed in Jerusalem and was found in the temple. For some of you that may not know, the temple was what you and I know today as the church house. Jesus was literally in the house. Or if you look at the progression of this particular text from a figurative metaphor, we can see that Jesus was moving into possibility and promise and the power that God had for him. In other words, Jesus was maturing into his true self. He was figuratively in the house. It is this figurative metaphor that I would like to deal with, and that is Jesus's development. I want to talk about his maturation and movement into manhood. See, when young people reach an age of accountability in their lives, Brother Hopkins, there is a decision that needs to be made of which path to follow. That path of good or that path of bad. And when the path of good is followed, there is some unique divine features that are manifested in their lives. In other words, when I follow the path of good, our young people begin to look like God, like the God that created them. When I follow the path of good, my life changes for the better. When I follow the path of good, I don't do things that I used to do anymore. When I follow the path of good, my mind is clear to make the right decisions in my life and do what God has called me to do. When I follow the path of good, I have purpose in my life and understanding of where I am going. When I follow the path of good, I'm in the house. By being in the house, young people are making a bold statement about the movement towards their maturation. When I make that move towards God and hook up with him, and then I'm making a courageous statement about my mental awareness of where I need to be in life. No longer am I confused and frustrated about life. Not that frustrations will come, but now I'm excited and clear in my thoughts about where I'm going. In this particular text, Jesus and his family make their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And in this particular year, Jesus was 12 years of age. Now, 12 years of age was the customary age of accountability for young people during these times. The Jews marked the stages of the child's development by 9 different terms, and at this particular stage of Jesus' life, he was considered to be a son of the law. Now, during this time, there were some things happening within the boy Jesus that happens to every boy and girl that goes through this developmental stage. Physical changes, emotional changes, psychological changes. Psychological changes were taking place. This was the same Jesus who would fully mature into the man who would heal the sick, raise the dead back to life, usher in a new way of thinking. The same thing that you and I went through, Jesus being fully human, he went through the same thing too. This Jesus was going through some developmental changes and had to make some choices in his life. Jesus was becoming a man. And the question that I want to ask ourselves, both young and old, is, am I moving moving in the way that God desires me to move. In other words, are we in the house? And there are three things that are crucial for the faith development of young people that let us know that we are in the house. The first thing is to stay. The second thing is to sit. And the last thing is to speak. Come on now, the first thing is to sit. Now, Jesus understands that when he came into the Jerusalem temple, he was invited and he needed to stay in Jerusalem to fulfill what God had for him in his life. The idea of staying was important given the fact that when the company was ready to leave Jerusalem after the celebration of the Passover festival, they had a social gathering all the way back home. In other words, they partied like it was 1999. You all don't know what I'm talking about. But the text says that Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. Instead of going to the party, Jesus had courage to stay where he was. Come on now. He stayed where he was in order to better himself. Now listen here, young folks. It's all right to party, but you've got to know when, where, and how to party, because the wrong kind of party can get you in the trouble. Oh, how many of us have been in a situation where we made the wrong choice of going to the party instead of staying out behind at home? See, at the party, there were some things and activities that can get me into trouble or don't add any value to who I am as a person. Oh, I can remember plenty of times when I was growing up, God help me, when I should have stayed my behind at home, because when I got to the party, there were some people, there were some things, there were some things that I didn't need to be around, some people that I didn't need to be involved with, some things that were harmful to my growth and to my development. Some of y'all went to a party. You all know what I'm talking about. You ought to stay where you are, because going to the party can ruin and wreck your life.
Preach that.
And at the age of 12, Jesus had to make a decision that would have gotten any 12-year-olds behind Torah. But no matter how detrimental the decision was to his social situation with his parents, Jesus knew that there were some spiritual consequences to the God that he served. And that may be a hard pill to swallow for some of us parents, but the reality of this thing is that our children are not completely ours. They are God's too. And at some point during our maturation is the natural pulling away from the parents by the young person to explore their purpose in life. Come on now, parenting is not easy. Oh yeah, some of us are pulling away. Some of us are trying to find our own identity. Some of us are trying to figure out with you, the pulling away is a hard thing, but nevertheless, it's necessary. I wonder if there are any young people in here today that would choose to stay in Jerusalem. And I wonder if there are any young people in here that, who are willing to say no to the party and choose to remain right where they are so that they can grow. I wonder if there are any young people in here that will stand up for God and not be ashamed and know that what is working in them is greater than that which is trying to work against them. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Do you have the mindset to stay in Jerusalem? Do you have the courage in making a conscious decision and understanding that where you are is the place where you need to be, because where you are will be the place that you grow? Regardless of what your friends say or do, regardless of how good it sounds, will you make that leap of faith? Will you remain in the house? Are you ready to make some waves in your life? Are you ready to say yes to God and move into another dimension? Now, there is a message for parents as well. Notice how long it took for Mary and Joseph to realize that their son was not with them. It took an entire day, 24 hours, for them to realize that Jesus was not with them. Parents, don't get so caught up in the religious moment that you forget to take Jesus with you when you go home. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Now, I know the pastor preached a great message. I know the choir sang praise. your church parking lot and go home, remember to take Jesus with you. Don't praise him in the church and then cuss your neighbor out when you get home. Don't praise him in the church and then treat your wife or spouse like dirt when you get home. Don't praise him in the church and then talk mess about your sister or brother when you get home and have the audacity to say, oh, did you see what they had? But we have to remember what our focus of those activities are. The focus is Jesus. The celebration of the activity is found in Jesus, not in the person who chairs that celebration. My total life and praise is found in Jesus' name. It is for his name's sake that I do what I do. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, and I don't have to look any further but the name of Jesus. And I be who I be because Jesus be. Now, you see, Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem without Jesus and they thought that he was with them. This was where the two mess up. And at that point, here I want to make here is that when you realize that you messed up, I don't care if it's one day, 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, that you need to finally realize that Jesus is not with you. When you find that he is not with you, you need to retrace your steps and go back to that place where you knew that he was with you then. It's never too late to fall back. It's never too late to retrace your steps. If you lost Jesus, you can find him again. Because Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you decide to go all by yourself and leave me, I am where you left me when you left. That's good news for somebody. Come on here and see the next thing. Number two, the next thing we see Jesus doing is to indicate that he was in the house, was sitting in the temple. The posture of sitting was associated with specific dignitaries possessing authority. Judges who tried legal cases sat. People sat to await an oracle from a prophet. Wise men, teachers, and doctors, and rabbis, they sat to teach the people. Finally, there is also an implied honor in sitting, while someone with lesser value stands.
Come on.
Look, you had to be invited to sit amongst the dignitaries of that day. When Jesus sat, he was no spectator. By his sitting, he was making a pronouncement to the people for the coming of his age. When he understood what he needed to do, he was invited to sit in the temple. He didn't just wander into the church house. He didn't just go just because it was the thing to do. He didn't go because mom and daddy told him to. He went because he understood that God was doing something in the inside that nobody could hold. Jesus is now beginning to step into the reality and the possibility of who he is to become. Remember that I told you that the age he was and the development where he was considered to be a son of the law. And one of the obligations at this age was to observe the ordinances up close. He had to understand the ways of the Jewish culture. He had to understand who he was to become. So he had to observe his culture up close and personal. In other words, he had the opportunity and was invited to come and join the teachers of the day to engage in some meaningful dialogue. Now, Jesus understood that within the invitation for him was to be a contributor as well. I wonder if young folks in this church know that they have a seat at the table. If they have a concern and wish to voice their concern, will they be heard by the leadership of the church, or will their concerns be swept under the rug? In order for them to grow, they need to know that someone hears them, that someone cares for them, that someone loves them. Are we inviting our young people to the table? Now, I know there are some adults that can remember when you were growing up, you didn't have a voice in the church. As a matter of fact, you didn't have any voice. Anyway, at home, in school, in the community, you were to be seen. Here's the truth of the matter. We can hold on to the traditional understanding between adults and children, but if we hold on to this traditional understanding, we face the possibility of losing a generation or two. We lose the possibility of young people going somewhere else to get their stuff when they can get their stuff right here and grow to be who God created them to be. We can no longer ignore the younger generation, expecting them to walk the way we want. The question of how do we attract the youth does not fall squarely on their shoulders. In order for them to get excited about God, we have to invite them to sit at the table with us. We not only have to instruct them, but we have to listen to them as well. I know for a fact that there are some young people in this church that are committed to God and this church and would love the opportunity to sit at the table. We have to train them up the way they should go. That's our responsibility. That's not the world's responsibility. That is our responsibility. I tell you, I get excited when young folks get excited about what God is doing in them and for them. These young people are committed. They're committed. They are committed. And we ought to invite them to the table. And walking into his gift by sitting amongst the authority. But there is a process. I need you to work with me. There's a process that young people need to be aware of. Sit turns into an acronym. Work with me here. The S in sit stands for seeker. As Jesus sat, he was seeking knowledge and wisdom. He wanted to learn. He came to the table with the understanding that there were some things that would be beneficial to his overall ministry. Right. The next thing in the sit, in the I, is the integrity. That's the I in sit.
Yes.
I'm sure Jesus was a little intimidated when he sat amongst the teachers and the authorities and the doctors of that day. But also Jesus knew that his Father had his back. He knew that he was in the house when he sat down. When you sit among people that may look bigger than you and stronger than you in every respect and aspect, remember to hold your head up high and know that you belong at the table. You belong at the table. Oh, I need my young folks to be sitting down here so I can see them. No, I know that it may sound corny, but they are somebody.
Yeah.
Our young people represent the Most High God. And he wouldn't expect anything less than your best.
Right.
And lastly, understand that when you sit, you must bring truth to the table. That's the
right.
Title. When you operate in the realm of God, you can't come in any other way.
Right.
See, the truth will set you free.
Right.
You must be seekers with integrity and bring truth to the table.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that I want our young people people to be careful of when you find yourselves in these situations. Although you have been invited, be careful to know that there are some people in those circles that may not be seekers like you, or walk with integrity like you, or even be truthful like you. There may be times when you find that there are some snakes in the ranks. The truth of the matter is that these types of people are not interested in you or what you stand for. They may be even intimidated by you even being at the table. It's not in them. Having integrity, it's not their style. And obtaining truth, it's not necessary for them. It's hard work when you try to do the right thing. When you are trying to do the right thing, there are going to be some people that get in your way. There are just going to be some people that don't understand what God is doing in your life. People come at you with foolish stuff from all sides, and it's enough to make your head spin. Suggesting that this is how we handle disputes. But when the enemy creeps out,